You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me, please, to the book of Peter, 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. Hebrews, James, and then Peter. Began preaching this morning on the subject of our great God that's ready to judge. We magnified the truth last week that he was ready to forgive. But the Bible said in verse number 5 of 1 Peter chapter number 4, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for these that have come to the service. I pray, God, tonight that, Lord, you would bless us with your presence, with your power. And God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, Father, to see truth that would transform our lives. Lord, we'll give you glory for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We want to tonight to look into the chapter, and we talked this morning about the seven judgments and just kind of introduce the message. The judgments that would apply to us would be the judgment of the believer's self. The judgment of the believer's sin would be at Calvary. And then we're to judge ourselves at the Lord's Supper. And then the judgment of the believer's service will be at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema seat. And then if a person's not saved, they will appear at the great white throne judgment. And that's a place nobody wants to end up. Amen. If you end up at that judgment, there's no hope. There's no backing up. There's no second chances. There's no other way. Amen. And you don't want to end up at that great white throne judgment for sure. But then we talked about the other judgment, where the judgment of the Gentile nations, the judgment of Israel, and the judgment of angels. Those are judgments that are portrayed and pictured in the Word of God, where this scripture right here, him that is ready to judge, and the Lord Jesus himself is the one who's been designated to be the judge. So without saying a whole lot more about that, I want to look into the chapter tonight. And I just want to kind of say this in the beginning. If we really believe that, if we really believe that we're going to stand, and it's not even going to be husband and wife. My wife and I are not going to hold hands and stand before the judge. Pastor's going to stand before the judge by himself. And my wife is going to stand before the judge. My grandchildren, I'd give anything if I could stand with them. But I won't be able to stand with them. They're going to have to stand before the judge for themselves. My children, each one of the people that go to Bible Way, going to have to stand there all by yourself before the judge. And so it's a sobering thought. And if we really believe that, I believe there's some things in the chapter that would really help us. Amen. And that's what God's always interested in doing, is helping his children. Amen. And I believe it's important. So if we believe that there's a God in heaven that's really the judge, and we believe that with all of our heart, then there's three things that I want to give you tonight in this chapter. They're simple things, but I believe it's profound in its own right. First of all, the Bible said in verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. If we really, listen, if we really believe we're going to stand before that judge, the Lord Jesus, the first thing I want to give you in the message is, I believe we would want to be careful how we think. Be careful how we think. Do you understand that not only deeds are going to come up in this judgment, that he knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart? That's a scary thing, isn't it? Amen. Somebody said one time, well, if you think it, you might as well say it. That's a lie. Somebody say amen right there. But I will say this. When we stand before God, God not only is going to know what we've done, but he's going to know why we've done it. The Bible said here, arm yourselves with the same mind. And listen, I believe this is 2,000 years ago that this was written. And he said, arm yourselves. And never have I looked at this text and thought about this tonight, but it's part of the armor of God. Arm yourselves. In other words, we're living in a world where how many understands that a lot of what's going on in our world is because of mental illness? How many understands that? Amen. I mean, you're just not right in the mind and do some of the things that are being done in this world. And I believe there's some reason. I'm not a doctor, but I believe when kids don't even talk to each other anymore, and I believe social media has taken over, amen, and the parents are not talking to the kids, and the kids are not talking to the parents, it's no wonder that we're in the mess that we're in. And I saw something that came up this week, and I think it puts forth a pretty good illustration for the message. How many of you all are old enough, or maybe if you're not old enough, you've seen pictures of what the old football helmets used to look like? They were just about an inch thick leather. They had no face guard on them. Chance, I don't think they knew what it was to wear the teeth guard, you know what I mean, the way that football players do today. And the old ones, I mean, and they barely had any padding on. But as things progressed, the uniforms became more and more sophisticated because the head injuries were more and more likely because people are now, they have weight machines and they have even drugs that a lot of men take to build muscle. And I'm telling you, a man on a football field is nothing less than a torpedo a lot of times coming at you. Amen. And so here's what I wanted to say in that. I believe we're living in a generation where we need to pay more attention to that armor around our mind than they did even back in that generation. Just as football has progressed, amen, it's gotten rougher and tougher, and it takes more to protect that player. I believe in this generation that you and I live in, amen, I'm talking about the television, the radio, the internet, we're bombarded from the other side. Amen. We're bombarded from the enemy. And the Bible said over there in the book of Ephesians to take the helmet of salvation. I believe we need to protect our mind. We need to be careful what goes into our eyes and be careful what goes into our ears. And the Bible said here, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And so it's going to be important how we think. We ought to be very careful because the society that we live in is trying to pull our mind away from the right way, away from the things of God. And the Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we need to, whatever it is, we ought to really use the Word of God as a filter. Amen. And if it's pleasing to God, go with it. But if it's not, it needs to be kept out of our heart and out of our mind. How we think, let me give you just several things real quickly. How we think concerning salvation. In verse number 1, the Bible said, he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And the song they just sang a moment ago, it's still the blood. And did you know that there are many, many quote-unquote religions today? The blood of Christ has no place in that religion. But how we think, we know that's it right there. Say amen. I mean, when God passed through the land of Egypt, he said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I never shall forget. It's been several years ago now. But the Bible said that the blood, that you had the lamb had to die. It had to shed its blood. They would catch that blood in a basin. And then the Bible said they used hyssop to apply the blood to the doorpost, that's plural, and the lintel across the top. And I remember well, I was studying that, and I thought about the threshold. Why didn't God want that blood put on the threshold? And I got to thinking about the book of Hebrews. It said they have trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant and counted it an unclean thing. I believe God is saying, I want you to walk through the blood, but I don't want you to walk on it. I don't want you to walk over it. Amen. That God has made us a way. And so in our mind, I hope that's clear in your mind tonight, that apart from the suffering of Christ on the cross of Calvary, there is no other way. Amen. The judge, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the blood. I love the song. Sister Danita said that when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. That's why he sees me as worthy and not as I am. He sees me in garments as white as the snow, for the Lamb of God is worthy. And he washed me. This I know. I think of Brother Rightly Salen, that old-time country preacher. He'd stop once in a while preaching and he'd say, are you washed white or are you whitewashed? There's a big difference. Amen. I can remember my grandparents telling me about the mixture. I don't know how it all goes, but you mix some flour and some stuff together and they would whitewash the fence maybe once or twice a year and just make the fence look pretty around the house. Amen. And there's a lot of people, beloved, listen, that are clothed in religion, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That relationship takes place on the inside. And, beloved, it's when the blood of Jesus is received and applied. He suffered in the flesh, the cross of Calvary. There's no other way. And then if we really believe that God is ready to judge, we'll be careful how we think concerning salvation, but we'll be careful how we think concerning sin. The Bible said that he that suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And so I believe that the Bible teaches that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus when we meet the Lord in faith. That it doesn't mean that we're sinless. But I'll tell you something right now. If you don't sin less than you used to, I'd check up. Somebody say amen. And I'll tell you the difference between sin in a believer's life and sin in an unbeliever's life. Sin in a believer's life bothers you. Amen. The Holy Spirit lives in there. Amen. And when there's something wrong in the believer's life, it bothers him and he wants to get that right with God. And Paul said, shall we sin that grace may be abound? He said, God forbid. And then the Bible said, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And so as we think about how we think, we need to be careful how we think concerning salvation, concerning sin, and then concerning suffering. Look with me, if you will, please, in verse number 12. Now, here's where a devil will jump on you if you're not careful. If you're not careful, beloved, listen, something will go wrong in your health. And I'm telling you, in the prayer room, that we're just praying over many, many, many people. Their health is just so bad right now, and they're in trouble with their health. But we need to be careful how we think concerning suffering. Look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Look at the next two words. But rejoice. I mean, that is just contrary to the flesh. Would somebody say amen? When you're going through a trial in the faith, to rejoice. In another passage, I believe in the book of Philippians chapter 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what he's saying in that verse of scripture right there? God's good when you're healthy and God's good when you're not healthy. God's good when you're wealthy and God's good when you're not wealthy. Say amen. God's good all the time. Amen. God's good when things are going bad. God's good when the bottom falls out of everything. Amen. And so he said here, rejoice inasmuch as you're made partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part, on their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Do you know why a lot of people will never mention Christ to others? It's because they don't want to be the oddball. They don't want to be that one, beloved, that's persecuted. They don't want to be that one that's looked down upon and talked about. But God said you ought to just rejoice. Amen. If you're reproached for the name of Christ. He said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I don't know about you, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, to have the right mindset when somebody that you love is suffering. I'm going to tell you something that will help you with that, is to realize that in Christ, standing before the judge, He's ready to judge the quick and the dead. In Christ, beloved, the worst that the believer is ever going to experience, it's going to be in this world, in this life. In other words, the statement is not just a catchy statement, but it is the truth for the child of God. The best is yet to come. Amen. And we need to have that mindset, that thought. Amen. And then sometimes the book of Proverbs teaches us about that. You look over there and there's your neighbor living like hell. And it just seems like everything's going right and everything's right. They got them a new car and a new garage to put it in and a new house and a new swimming pool and all the things that the heart could wish for. But you need to realize something. The very worst that God's people are ever going to experience is in this world, in this life. But the very best that a lost man's ever going to experience, he better just go ahead and live it up. Say amen. Because, beloved, for him, the worst is yet to come. For us, the best is yet to come. Now, we don't wish that on anybody. We want everybody to go with us to the city of God. So it's important, if we really believe that we're going to stand before God, we ought to really be careful how that we think. Let me ask you a personal question. You ever get twisted up in your thoughts sometimes? You ever find yourself thinking in ways that are contrary to what the way God tells us to think? Amen. You remember what I said this morning about that guy mowing the grass right beside the church? I said, you know, I didn't think of it at the time, but I could have prayed his mower would blow up. Say amen. No respect. I'm telling you, people going in the church house, getting out of their cars and going in the church house and running that lawnmower. I'm talking about from here to the back door back there. And running that lawnmower, mowing the grass on Sunday morning. The respect is gone. Amen. And I believe with all my heart we need to be careful. A better prayer for that man would be, Lord, help that man come to know you, that he might be one of those that's going through the doors in the house of God on Sunday morning and find another time to mow the grass. It's going on everywhere. I worked for a man in Abingdon, Virginia. He and his wife were going to church out Route 19, and this guy, he blew the doors off of them pulling a great big bass boat. And this man's wife looked over at him and said, look there, honey, somebody's taking their boat to church with them this morning. Amen. I don't believe that's exactly how it went down. Do you? Amen. They're having church on the lake, if you know what I mean. Number two, not only will we be careful how we think, but we will be careful how we live. Be careful how we live. I want you to look in this chapter at several things. At verse number 2 and verse number 19, the Bible said here that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. How should we live? We ought to live in God's will. We ought to live in the will of God. Look at verse number 19. The Bible said here, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him and well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. How many believes He's faithful? Amen. And He has a will for each one of us as life. Amen. And God wants us to understand that since we're going to stand before the judge, we're going to give an account, that it would be good if we were just careful how we lived and that we lived in God's will. Years ago, my son's name is Jeremy, and I'm very proud of my son. He works hard. He drives a truck at the Eastman. He farms after that. And I found out last week, it looks like Lucas is falling on his heels, don't it, Brother Mark? My grandson, I found out Brother Mark, he knew of my grandson working for a doc down in Church Hill. And he's got a great work ethic. And he loves making money, and he's not met the right girl yet, but I think she's the right girl, but when he gets married, somebody will probably love spending money as much as he likes making money and saving money, but he's a money saver, amen. But let me tell you something. I believe years ago, I told the church, I said, if you'll come back tonight, I said, I'll tell you what I want my boy to be when he grows up. And we had a good crowd that night. And I said, I think everybody had it in their mind what the preacher was going to say. I said, here's what I want my boy to be when he grows up. I said, I want my boy to be exactly what God wants him to be. I said, if my boy tries to be a preacher and God wants him to be a plumber, he'll be miserable. But I said, if my boy tries to be a plumber and God wants him to be a preacher, he'll be miserable. So listen tonight. The happiest people in life are the people that understand and know that God has a purpose. God has a will for their life. And they're walking in that will, amen, and realizing that at the end of walking in that will is the judge. And we're going to meet the judge one-on-one, amen. He's ready to judge. So we need to be careful how we think, but we need to be careful how we live. We need to live, number one, in God's will. And then secondly, look in verse number 11. The Bible said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Not only do we need to live in God's will, but we need to live in God's Word. God's Word ought to be a guiding factor in our life. The Word of God said, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Another passage said, I'll hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we need to understand tonight that if we're going to stand before this judge and we really believe that, it'll make a difference in how we think. It'll make a difference in how we live. And then we need to live in God's way. Look in verse number 6 right here. The Bible said, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Beloved, listen, the way of God for God's people is a way that's not only revealed in the Scripture, but it's a way that's led by the Spirit. It's a man or a woman that's being led by the Spirit of God. There's a way that seemeth right, but there is a way that is right. The Bible said, seek ye out the old path, and when you find it, walk therein. The Bible said, wherein is the good way? That's the good way. That's God's way. It's not only, beloved, the good way, but in verse number 8, it's a way of charity. The Bible said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Have you ever run into anybody that just can't wait to expose somebody's sin? You know what the Bible's saying about real love? Real love wants to cover it up. Amen. Real love wants to help an individual. Amen. And you didn't find Nathan running all over Israel. Say amen. You didn't find Nathan running all over Israel telling the people what David had done. Nathan went to the source. He went to David and he stood toe to toe with David. Amen. And I love the song. It said, go and tell Jesus on me. When my faults and failures you see, if you are my brother, don't go tell another. Go and tell Jesus on me. Amen. And beloved, if something needs to be said, say it to the individual that it needs to be said to. But isn't sometimes that the last person that's talked to? Amen. And so if we're going to go in the way of God, it's a way of charity. It's a way of covering. In verse number 9, it's a way of caring, using hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, it's one thing to fix somebody a meal, but it's another thing to be griping the whole time you're doing it. Or griping to somebody else because you had to do it. Say amen. It's one thing to mow somebody's grass for them. I had a deacon years ago that we went to visit with a man that had been sick for a while and got ready to go. And I said to the dear brother, I said, brother, is there anything we could do for you while we're here? He said, Pastor, my grass looks like it needs to be bush hogged. He said, could you mow my grass? He said, I've got two mowers sitting down there in the basement. I said, we absolutely can mow the grass, brother. We went down there, and I said, his name was Rick. I said, Brother Rick, I said, do you want to push or do you want to ride? I gave him about a half a second. I said, I'll ride. Amen. And he pushed, and I rode. Amen. And we mowed that man's grass. But we didn't run all over town. Do you know what we had to do? Grudgingly. Say amen. I mean to tell you, beloved, there's people, Brother John, that would love to have enough health to get on their lawnmower one more time and mow their grass. But their health is gone. Amen. Love, there's people that would love to be able to fix their family a good meal, and they can't even get to the kitchen. They can't even stand before the stove. And so it's a way of caring. And then it's the way of Christ. Look in verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I believe these verses, talking about living in God's Word and in God's will and in God's way are pictures of how our Lord Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth. Amen. He walked in a way that we could walk behind Him and know, beloved, that one day we're going to stand before the judge, and that's our only hope of hearing the judge say, well done, is to walk in God's will, walk in God's Word, walk and live in God's way. Amen. Now, the last thing tonight in the message, and I don't think it's any less important, I said we need to be very careful how we think. We need to be very careful how we live. But we need to be careful concerning one other thing in this chapter, and it's going to amaze you, I think, how many times it's mentioned concerning the time. I don't think the average Christian understands how close we are to standing before the judge. You say, now, Pastor, Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago. Let me say something to you. You need to remember this. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So according to that, Jesus has only been gone a couple days. Honey, He's coming back. Amen. Just as sure as everything else in the Bible is true, that's true. He's coming back, and we will stand before the judge. Let me give you several things where time is mentioned in this scripture. In verse number 3, the Bible said, for the time past of our life. Peter said our life. He didn't say your life. Time's past. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know about all of you. I dare say that at least some of you are like me, and you're ashamed of your past. You're ashamed of some of the things you've done, some of the places you've been, some of the thoughts that's went through your mind. And the word of Peter said here, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we... You see that? I love men like Peter that puts himself right in the number. He said, we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. The Word of God, one of the times the Bible talks about in this chapter, and I'm not going to spend a lot, but times past. Paul, when he would get up to preach, over and over and over again, he would mention what I used to do back yonder. I persecuted the people of God. Amen. He couldn't, beloved, understand how God could love a man that acted like he did and lived like he did. And you and I are just as guilty, because the Bible said if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Amen. And so there's that times past. Then the Bible mentioned another time. It said the rest of our time. Look at verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. This is the truth. I don't know how long it was after God saved me, but it wasn't long. It might have been hours. It might have been a day. But I can remember this like it was yesterday. Brother Mark, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I have wasted 27 years of my life. And I said, Lord, if you give me 27 more, I want to spend them living for you.
I didn't want it to keep going. Listen, what would a man or a woman want with Jesus if you want to keep living the way you've always lived? I wanted that change, and he changed me, amen? And I don't dwell on that back there, but it's all right every once in a while to say, thank God Almighty, he delivered me from that mess. Amen? The times passed, and then the rest of our time. I'm going to read you something tonight that spoke to my heart. Listen to it carefully. If you had a bank that credited your account every morning with $86,000, you wouldn't be going to PALS, would you, Mel? $86,000 every morning shows up in your bank account. I tell you, probably most of the people in here wouldn't be going back to your job. I'd have to, because mine don't involve money. Say amen. Amen. And it's a good thing Greg ain't here tonight, because he says I just work like an hour and a half a week anyway. Amen. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000 that carried over no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? Draw out every cent every day, of course, and use it to your advantage. Well, you have no such bank, or you have such a bank, and its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. Think about that for just a minute. Every day, God gives us 86,400 seconds. And you can't have yesterday's seconds. You can't have tomorrow's seconds. But you have them today. And when the day's over, that day's over. I believe we ought to invest, don't you, our time wisely, knowing that we're going to stand before the judge. And then the Bible said, talking about time and measuring it, in verse number 7 it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. As Brother Keith taught it, that had nothing to do with alcohol, amen. That's talking about being serious, approaching it very seriously, and watch unto prayer. I believe if we really believe that we're living in the last of the last days, it would help us to be careful concerning our time. The Bible said it's high time that we wake out of sleep. The Bible said redeeming the time, for the days are evil. How many believes the days are evil? Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. We're living in a wicked time. But so were they in Noah's day. As it were in the days that was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now is the accepted time, the Bible said. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring. How many of you watched the news a couple weeks ago? I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just trying to make a point. Where a man that he couldn't speak English, he couldn't even read the road signs, and he was granted a CDL license, a commercial driver's license. He's making an illegal U-turn on an interstate, and a minivan runs up under the trailer, and three people's lives were lost. And looking at that, Brother Gary, and watching that video, I don't even believe there was time to say, oh God. Amen. I'm telling you, however they were when they left home that morning, that's how they left into eternity. Amen. And I'm telling you that we can leave out of here in a hurry. We ought to redeem the time. In verse number 13, His glory will be revealed. In verse number 17, The Bible said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Listen to what Revelation 3 says, and I'll close with this tonight. Well, actually, I got one more verse I need to look at, and one more section. In Revelation 3, in chapter number 1, the Bible said unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Turn with me to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we'll be finished with this. The Bible said in that passage to that church, strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. And I believe that's good advice. Strengthen the things that remain. Paul is talking to Timothy, his young preacher, and Paul is getting ready to leave off the scene. Let's look at this here. We're talking about the time. Be careful concerning the time. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, we're there, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Listen to what Paul said. I would to God that I can say this when it's my time to leave. Paul said, for I'm ready. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. All to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, notice, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Are you looking for him tonight? Are you living for him tonight? Are you guarding your mind tonight? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the enemy's real and he's doing his best to pull us away from the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if we understand the truth that we're going to stand before God, we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. 86,400 seconds a day we're going to give an account of. Amen. Every day God deposits that into our life. And we get to choose how we spend it. Amen. I believe it'd be good if we just, like the Bible said, we're sober, very serious about the things of God in these last days. How many's glad you come tonight? I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, God, that you have a will for our lives, and Lord, that you're directing our lives. And we pray, dear God, tonight that you would help us to leave here, Lord, thinking, our Father, in a way that's pleasing unto thee, living in a way that's pleasing unto thee. And Lord, that we would be careful to understand and know, Lord, the days are evil, but Lord, we can live for you. Our lives can make a difference in someone else's life, even in these evil days. Help us, we pray, Lord, tonight. God will give you glory.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.